Please turn with me to the book of Hebrews. I shall be reading chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and the high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, on the day of testing in the wilderness where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. And I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. And it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. This is the word of God.
Good morning, church. My name is Jackson, one of the pastors of Ang Mo Presbyterian Church, and this morning it is an honor to deliver God's word. This morning is also the first time that our church and our service is conducting live streaming. That's why you see a camera here. It's a trial. We are just trying to see how you go. So people with the link all over the world can actually tune in to this sermon as well. And that actually reminds me of two things. One is that I must be careful of what I say because the world can be listening. And second thing to remind myself is to be careful not to dig my nose in the process. So if I do, do remind me because the camera is on me. Let us pray even as we come before God in his word. Dear God, we give thanks to you for today. We ask, O Lord, that your word will not return to you empty, but we pray, O God, that you will encourage and edify your people. Be with us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our brother has read for us the book of Hebrews chapter 3. And I'll be going through verse to verse. And sometimes I'll jump about from the verse as I try to explain more clearly the content of the chapter. So it's good for you to hold open your Bible with you as I go through this sermon. Now I begin with verse 1. Verse 1 says, therefore, holy brothers, in this case, of course, it also includes sisters, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Now, first of all, it has been addressed that these are holy brothers and sisters. In other words, this is addressed to fellow Christians, people who actually believe in Jesus. All right? So the Hebrew author and writer is urging them to consider Jesus. So the question that I want to ask all of us today, even as we continue to live our lives daily, day by day, and even as we sit here in the church, I want to ask you this question, simple as it may be, but do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession? In other words, Jesus is the author and perfecter of our lives. He's the priest and the leader and the founder of our faith. Now, what does it mean when we say we believe in Jesus? What do I get in believing in Jesus? What do I need to pay? Do I need to pay anything to believe in Jesus? Is there something to give up or something to surrender? And as we move on in this chapter from verse 1, now we go on to verse 2, it says, Jesus who was faithful to him who appointed him. In other words, Jesus was faithful to God who appointed Jesus. So God is the one who appointed Jesus as that apostle and high priest of our confession. But here he added someone else into the mix. Just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. So here the attention from Jesus went over to Moses so as to compare between Jesus and Moses. So who is Moses or who was Moses? And here I move on to my first point here about Moses and the Israelites. Verse 2 and even later on in verse 5 indicates that it just as Jesus was faithful to God's appointment and God's calling for him, Moses was also a faithful servant of God. Verse 5 says, now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. So Moses was compared to Jesus as being faithful. But who exactly was Moses? Now a quick recap in case you do not know who Moses was. Now Moses was the most important prophet in Judaism. He was an Israelite, but he was raised as part of Egyptian royalty. He met God at the burning bush, and he was chosen by God to be his prophet, to set God's enslaved people free. He confronted Pharaoh, the leader of the Egyptians, and he warned them of the 10 plagues, which really happened. He led Israel out of Egypt. He saw many miracles and signs, and he himself was the channel of many signs and miracles of God. Burning bush, 10 plagues, parting of the Red Sea, the pillar of fire by night and pillar of cloud by day, the manna, the quail, the water, the 10 commandments, Mount Sinai, his staff of healing. There were many, many signs that Moses had led God's people through, and he had been part of the signs and miracles to God's people. Doesn't that sound like a very impressive person and leader of God's people, correct? So Moses was indeed a very impressive man. But here, I jump from the chapter down to verses 16 to 19. And here, verses 16 to 19 says that, yet during those time, Moses' time, the Israelites rebelled against God and they were not allowed to enter into God's rest. Verse 16 says, for who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? God was provoked and made angry. Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? That means these people that Moses led out from Egypt, they fell, they sinned. And to whom, in verse 18, did he swear that they would not enter his rest? And to those who were disobedient. So what exactly happened? If Moses was such an impressive leader, what happened? And the author and writer of Hebrews chapter 3 gave us a glimpse of the answer in verses 7 to 11. as I said, I'll be jumping around in the chapter so as to clarify, make it more clear with clarity the progress of the sermon. So here in verses 7 to 11, he gives us a hint of what happened. Verse 7, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. And therefore I was provoked with that generation and say they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Now from these verses we see that there was a time of testing in the wilderness where the people hardened their hearts. They provoked God with anger that for 40 years until the entire generation, including Moses, died out, they shall not enter into God's rest. What happened? Verses 7 to 11 was actually taken from Psalm 95, verses 7 to 11 as well, all right? So in Psalm 95, 7 to 11, it was based on the history in Israelites' past in the Old Testament book. And that was taken from the book of Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 7. There was a time when the people were with Moses and they were complaining and grumbling and saying that there was no water and we all are thirsty. Have you let us out here so that we would die of thirst? It would be better if we go back to Egypt. And the people were complaining. And then there was a time in Numbers chapter 14 when God told Moses to send out 12 spies to go into the land of Canaan to see the promised land that God has promised for them. And here, out of these 12 spies, two of them returned with favorable results, saying that it's a land with milk and honey. It's a land of promise that is for us for the taking. But the other 10 spies were fearful of the big-sized, fearsome enemies, and they provoked the other people to complain and have disbelief in God's promises. And here God was saying, "I promise this land for you, go and inherit." But 10 of these 12 spies says, "No, we will surely be destroyed by these giants, so let's not go in." And because of that, the entire generation were there complaining against God and grumbling against Moses. And so in God's wrath, God says that they would not enter the rest that He planned for them, the land in Canaan, whom God had promised to be their home and to be their rest. So here in Hebrews 3 context, the writer of Hebrews were writing now to people in the New Testament times. And these were people who were Jewish Christians now, holy brothers and sisters, right? So these are Jewish Christians. And here the writer of the Hebrews was saying, do not turn away from God, but be committed to the faith in Christianity, in Christ. And the audience of the book of Hebrews were at that time turning away from Christianity as well. And the writer here was urging them to remain faithful and do not be deceived by wrongful ways of sin and unbelieving hearts. Do not, in other words, be like the Old Testament Israelites who have seen God, who have seen Moses leading them through many signs and wonders and miracles, yet at the end was full of grumbling, complaint, and disbelief that led to their eventual destruction and not entering into God's rest. And so here the writer is saying, you are the Jewish Christians here in the New Testament era. Believe in Christ and do not fall away. Like the Old Testament Israelites who complained and disbelieved God's promise of the promised land, the New Testament Christians now face with the same situation as they grumbled and as they disbelieve God's commands and promises for them. And many scholars think that the audience here in Hebrews chapter 3 were Jewish Christians who were considering to go back to their Jewish roots. In other words, to go back to Judaism. And some of them were giving up Christianity in face of worldly temptations and even some because of idol worship. And so they disbelieved God's commands and promises in Jesus Christ. God's intent was for the OT Israelites to find rest. but they failed by their disbelief. And because they no longer believe, they disobeyed God. And as it was with the Old Testament Israelites, so it was with the New Testament Jewish Christians. The New Testament Jewish Christians, the audience of the Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, they were supposed to believe in Jesus. And here I move on to my second point, Jesus and us. Who was Jesus then? Again, in verse 1, as we go back to it, it says Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession. So consider him. It was urged to them. Consider. And here, the writer puts Jesus together with Moses. Moses was great. But here in verse 3, the writer says, for Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. As much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. Verse 4 says, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Here, Jesus was counted more worthy than Moses. Moses, as great as he was just a regular man, a regular human being like you and me. He was chosen by God to lead his people. And true, God used him as channel of signs and wonders and miracles. But Moses was only part of God's house. In fact, we are all part of God's house. And the house does not have more glory or honor than the builder of the house. Would you look at a beautiful building and say, wow, it's beautiful, but it's just a building? Would you not see that the architect, the designer of the building himself, that person is filled with more glory and honor than the building itself? Because the building stands as itself, but the builder can build many more of such buildings. And here in this context, the builder of the house is Jesus, the builder of all things, as indicated in verse 4, is God himself. Verse 6, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. When Moses had been faithful as a servant of God, Jesus had been faithful as the Son of God. Jesus was greater than Moses because the Son of God definitely had more authority than a servant of God. That's Moses. And the good news is that we are of Christ's house. We are together with Jesus. We are his house, as written in verse 6. And Jesus was also greater than Moses because Jesus was more prominent in God's plan of salvation. True, God used Moses as salvation for the Israelites back then because Moses rescued the Israelites from captivity. But Jesus rescued all who believe from captivity. Moses obeyed with God working signs and miracles around him. Jesus obeyed even to the point of death upon the cross, working miracles himself to show and reveal that he is the Son of God. And therefore, there's the urge by the writers of Hebrews to his audience to believe in Jesus, remain faithful, don't fall away. The Son of God who was greater than Moses. And follow Jesus, not Moses. Don't go back to your Judaism ways. Don't let your hearts be hardened or deceived into disbelief, but remain faithful to the Son of God, saying, yes, I believe in Jesus, even in the face of sinful temptations, difficulties, or obstacles. And I come to my third point, I believe in Jesus. So what are we to do? What has all this in Hebrews 3 to do with us today? Verse 12 gives us a warning. Take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. Just as there was disobedience with the OT Israelites, which led them to rebel against God, and there were temptations that led the New Testament Jewish Christians to disbelieve in God, there are many circumstances in our lives here today which may challenge us against our faith and our belief in our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this season that we live in, of course, I can think no further than the COVID-19 situation. It is one huge obstacle impacting the world, impacting China, the world, here in Singapore, and affecting our daily lives today. Fears of the situation may also lead us somehow to ungracious behavior, which isn't what God would want us to do. Fears today led us to many not very positive situations or behaviors, such as, for example, fake news. We pass on unverified news, and sometimes friends send to us some news, and we see it, and we think that, wow, this is what is true, and we forward it, but it turns out to be fake. Have we already, in doing so, created undue panic? Or worse still, those of us are the ones who create this fake news in the first place, and I hope that it's not. Of course, we know of the grabbing and hoarding of food items at local groceries, even toilet paper. And we know when we saw the news how a lot of all these items were sold out overnight. We thank God that now everything has been restocked. But that actually revealed a very ugly nature of what that we are doing to care only for ourselves and not minding about those who may need all these items more than us. The high prices of reselling of medical items such as hand sanitizers and even face masks online that we see. And we are glad that the government is coming against all this and urging people not to do so. Many other fears also grab us in the way of animosity against race. For example, people from China. Have we creating some kind of xenophobia? Have we ever considered and asked ourselves if we love even the people of Wuhan, knowing that they too are creation of God? Have we ever considered that there are Christians in China who are going through struggles that's worse than what we are facing here in Singapore today? And have we loved them? And have we even loved our fellow Singaporeans enough to consider that hoarding of these items may not be good and generous to those who need them more? Are we having animosity even against infected places or clusters? For example, in the Victoria JC case, the principal himself says that he was saddened to hear that people were shunning those who were wearing the VJC uniform. Just because they see students wearing VJC uniform, people will not stick close to them. Are we also even ostracizing against Ground Zero venues in Singapore? Haven't you heard of people who say, oh, don't go to North Point, or don't go to Junction 8, and all those. But actually, these places are the most sanitized places, and it's the most cleanest place right now. But true enough, are we afraid of this pandemic that's going around us? Yes. Yes, we are afraid. But we mustn't let our fears keep us from doing what is right. For we believe in Jesus, who is the Son of God, with authority over all. For he is the builder of all things. And we believe that Jesus has authority over the COVID-19 virus, isn't it? And that Jesus has authority over our lives. Don't you believe that? Do you believe that? That Jesus has authority over COVID-19, do you? Can I see your hands if you do? Do you believe that Jesus has authority over our lives? Can I see your hands if you do? It doesn't mean by our belief that we go about living carelessly. No, we need to protect ourselves. We need to have proper hand wash and personal hygiene. That's true. But it also means that in this moment, we can still care for others around us, especially those who are more vulnerable than us. Just yesterday, I was on the bus, riding on the bus, and and it was a double-decker bus. I climbed to the second level, and there was a couple of men sitting in front of me, and they have masks on and everything, and one of the men, upon sitting down, took out his hand sanitizer and cleaned his hands and all. And so I see that, okay, they are just being very careful, that's fine. So I was sitting behind, and there came a fourth man, three of us, and then there's a fourth man that came and sat behind me. And this man was behind me, and as the bus moved, the man behind me began to cough. And the moment he coughed, I see the man in front of me all turn around and look at him. I was tempted to turn around and look too, but when I see that they were looking because they were in front of me, I thought, hey, maybe it's okay, just let it be, especially when this man was just behind me. And then the bus moved on again, and the man coughed a second time. And this time the people turn around and stare at him. I too turn and look at him, not because I want to stare at him, but I want to check his visual face. No, does he look sick? He doesn't look sick. He looks okay. And so I turn around and I pray to God. God, he's just behind me. Is it dangerous? Should I look out for myself? Should I move out from my seat and move somewhere? Should I move downstairs and sit somewhere else? I have a mask in my bag. Should I take it out and put it on now? So I talk to myself and I talk to God. I say, God, am I overreacting? I look at the man, he looks okay. And I'm sure that he is responsible to take care of himself too. And I have a box or rather a packet of tissues in my bag as well. And I was telling God, if he coughs a third time, I'm going to take out a tissue and give it to him and say, bless you, at least to give him a tissue. But I think after that, he felt also pretty, that people were looking at him, so he held back and he didn't cough for the rest of the journey until I get off. But maybe there was something that sometimes we have this fear even as we are living our lives. But can we make a difference with what that we see instead of just shunning people, running away and like overreacting? Can we for what I was thinking, the most I could think was to give him a piece of tissue, maybe to cover his face or so, or when he coughs or something. Maybe we can do something that will help one another rather than to run away from one another in that sense. Verse 13 says, exhort one another every day. Every day. As long as it is called today, then none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. So there you go, verse 13, exhort one another. Above and beyond the gloomy news that we read each day, let's share good news and exhort one another. And I'm very glad to see that there are good news happening. Like, we read how in Wuhan, there are the angels in yellow, and they were there standing out on the streets giving out face masks to people. Like in a blog post entitled, A Door Open in Wuhan, in China, one missionary in Wuhan wrote that it is the 10th day since the city has been separated by quarantine, and protective masks are the most valuable thing in Wuhan. Money is useless because you can't find a store that sells the mask, and people are in a desperate situation. In response, our brothers and sisters preach the gospel and give out tracts and free masks. The angels in yellow, as they dress in yellow and give out free masks in Wuhan, they suit themselves with Christ-like love. Perhaps we too, in protecting ourselves, also wearing protective gear to protect ourselves with personal hygiene and all, but also in a way to show Christ's love to the community around us. Just yesterday at Punggol MRT station, there was a lady. I do not know who she is, but it was passed around in Facebook that you can contact her because she has 800 free face masks for adults and children that she was giving away at Punggol MRT. So you just need to contact her, and she'll be there from yesterday morning from 10 a.m. to 11, and she'll be there giving out the free masks. Yeah, I was working, so I couldn't be there. But yeah, I thought it was such an act of love that she was to give out to people. In Punggol, I'm sure you also saw in how the RCs are attaching hand sanitizers in every lift. And I think it's just a gesture of love that they are putting hand sanitizers that everyone who press the lift buttons can just sanitize their hands. I also heard of stories of how people on trains are giving up their seats to nurses when they see the nurses wearing the uniform so that they can have a seat, and to thank them for their selfless acts in the front line, in the medical field. Another thing we can do is to share God's promises. We can be more Christ-like. And I'm thinking of writing cards of encouragement to our healthcare personnel working in the front lines. We definitely can pray, and don't let this season go by without praying for others. Definitely, I'm sure we are all praying for ourselves, praying that God protect me from the virus, protect my family and loved ones. But are we praying for Wuhan? Are we praying for the people who are suffering out there? Are we praying for the world leaders to make the wise decision? Are we praying for our frontline medical personnel who are facing the threat every day? At the beginning of this sermon, I ask, what does it mean when we say we believe in Jesus? What do I get in believing in Jesus? What do I need to pay to believe in Jesus? Is there something to give up or to surrender? Well, I think about it, and I say that when we say we believe in Jesus, we mean to believe who He is. That He is the Son of God. That He has power and authority, more worthy than Moses. He has power and authority. He's the Son of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He has power and authority? Can I see your hands? Yes, amen. And the second question is, second point is, when we believe in Jesus, we don't just believe on who He is, we believe in what He says. Can I see your hands of those who believe in what Jesus says to you? Amen to that. Now, and I reflect upon it, I think that what Jesus says, as I read through the Bible, comes in three words, if I may. I think that Jesus has many a times promised us His presence, His peace, and His life. For example, in Matthew 28, verse 20, we are very familiar with the verse, Jesus promised that I am with you until the very end of the age. There was a promise of Christ's presence with us. And Jesus has always promised us His peace. Like, for example, in John chapter 14, verse 27, He said, peace I give to you. I do not give to you like the world gives. Peace. And He said His peace transcends all understanding that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And Jesus has also promised us life. Like, for example, in John chapter 10, verse 10, He said, I came that they might have life. Now, Jesus has promised us His presence, that as we go through this season of testing, He is with us. He has promised us peace, that as we go through this season of testing, we will know His peace with us. And He has promised us life, that as we go through this season of testing, we will have the abundant life to the fullest with Him. So do we believe that during this season of testing, that the Lord's promises of His presence and peace and life is true? And if we do, let's hold on to this Christ, the high priest of our faith, the apostle that's appointed by God. What do I need to pay or surrender or give up to believe in Jesus? Verse 7 says, and it's repeated, verse 7 says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. And this is repeated in verse 15. As it is said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And verse 19 gives us the scary consequence. So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Today, if you hear God's voice, let us not harden our hearts. But today, as we hear God's voice, in verse 18, as long as it is called today, let us exhort one another and come to share in Christ. Let us hear and let us believe. Let us believe that Christ is in control and God is sovereign over this COVID-19 situation. Let us give up our fears to Jesus. Let us surrender ourselves, our fears, our worries, our concerns, our loved ones to Jesus. And let us pray that, yes, I believe in Jesus. Let us pray together. I want to pray for three groups of people today, this morning. The first group of people I want to pray for are those who are afraid, those who are fearful. You are afraid of the COVID-19 situation. You are afraid that your loved ones and perhaps your colleagues or someone in your office or someone near to you may have contracted and be infected. You are afraid that you may get it too, you may be infected. You are afraid that you probably have to go on leave or absence or quarantine and what will happen to your business or your studies. You are afraid that you may not be able to have the providence, the money, the income, even the food to hold all your family together till the end of this testing season. You're afraid. You're just fearful of the entire situation and you feel so helpless. If that is you and you are fearful, I just want you to have a quick raising of your hand so that I can know who you are and I can just pray with you. No one needs to look around. You can keep your eyes closed. If you are afraid, just lift up your hand so I can pray with you. I saw your hand, sister. Is there anyone else who's afraid? Anyone who's afraid and just want to come to God? Let us pray for people in this group. Dear God, we pray, O Lord, and acknowledge our fears. Indeed, God, we are helpless in this situation. We are weak. But Lord, you are mighty. And you have all authority, Lord Jesus. You who create the world, you have power over the COVID-19 virus. You have power over our lives. And you can control it, Lord. You can heal us and you can protect us. We surrender our fears to you, God. We surrender ourselves to you. Lord, remind us in Matthew 6:34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Remind us, O God, in Psalm 23, that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not fear. He leads me to green pastures and seats me beside still waters. And with his staff and his rod, he will protect me. I shall not fear. We surrender ourselves to you, God, and pray that we will know your peace. Peace, Lord Jesus, that we transcend all understanding, that will guard our hearts and our minds. Grant us peace and assurance of your presence, God. The second group of people I want to pray for are those who want to step out from the boundary of their fear and they want to do more. They do not want to just coop up in their house and just protect themselves and their loved ones. But there are those who want to share good news. They feel that this is a season that as Christians we can stand together, we can pray, we can send good news, we can send our daily devotion through WhatsApp or online medias to one another. We can encourage one another and we can exhort one another as long as it's called today. And we shall do that to share in Christ. If that is you, that you want to step out to do more, to share God's good news and God's promises in this time of need, if that is you, raise your hands and I will want to pray for you. If that is you, that you want to do more, yes, brother, yes, sister, I see your hands. Yes, sister, I see your hands. Yes, sister, I see your hands behind. Yes, brother, I see your hands. I see your hand. You can put down your hands now. Is there anyone else who want to do more in this season. Let me pray for these people. Dear God, I just want to pray for these brothers and sisters who raise their hands. You see that they want to share good news. Teach them that they have the tool in their hands. They have a handphone, they have a laptop, they have a computer. They are able to send their daily devotions and prayers to encourage one another, to those who are in need, to those who are fearful. Let them be your prayer warriors. Let them be the one who encourage and edify one another. Let them be the pillar of light. That is just like what you want us to be the salt and light of the world, Lord. Let them be reminded of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The last group of people that I want to pray for are those who have yet to know Jesus. If you have not known Jesus, if you are not a Christian, and you'd say that at this moment, you want to believe in Jesus. Yes, I believe in Jesus. And I want to believe Jesus and accept Him as my personal Savior and Lord. And if that is you, raise your hands so I can pray for you right now. If that is you, raise your hand. Is there anyone here who is not a Christian and want to believe in Jesus and say, yes, I believe in Jesus. I believe in His authority and power over my life. Yes, if that is you, lift out your hands right now. And let me close this sermon with a prayer. Dear God, we give thanks to you, Lord, that you are the author and perfecter of our faith. We thank you, God, that you love us, God, and you are not a God to leave us in the lurch. You are God who is present with us. You are God who gives us life, and you are God who gives us peace. And Lord, indeed, Lord, we want to stand with you that as 2 Timothy 4:7 says, that at the end of my life, I have fought the good fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. Teach us, O God, as is written in Hebrews 3, to keep our faith in you, Lord Jesus, to know, God, that you are Lord and you are God of our lives. You control all that is happening. You control the COVID-19 situation, Lord. We pray, O God, that you will deliver us, Lord. Deliver those who are sick and in critical condition, that you will heal them. Help those who are in the front line, the doctors and the nurses, the scientists who are trying to find any right treatment for this, the world leaders who are trying to make the right decisions. God, we pray that you be with them and you lead us. That in this moment of need, Lord, we will stand together and we declare that God, Lord Jesus, you are glorious and more worthy than honor and praise. You are our Lord and God of our lives. Hallelujah. All praise and glory and honor belong to our Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now, church, let us stand and let us respond to the word. Into your hand I commit again all I am, for you alone. You hold my world in the palm of your hand, and I am yours forever. Jesus, I believe in you. In Jesus, I belong. The reason that You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all I am. Yes, Lord, help us to trust in you and entrust our fears unto you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.